Then I said, "Here I am. I have come. It is written about me in your scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, 'Aha, aha,' be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, 'The Lord be exalted.' Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay." I understand if you go to a trendy job interview nowadays, they might ask a question like this. If you were a kitchen utensil, which one would you be and why? Well, that's easy for me. I reckon I'm a potato peeler because I always get under everybody's skin. Or if you were a biscuit, which variety would you be and why? I can think about this one. I think I'd like to be, like, it's probably not me, and you can tell me afterwards, I'd like to be a jammy dodger. Sort of firm round the edges with a soft centre, and everybody loves me. I've got a question for you. If life was a song, what kind of music would it be for you? It depends on how you're feeling at any given time, doesn't it? If you're angry, it might be a rap. Going down to the town to beat the clown who made me frown. I think there's a hidden talent there. I hope it remains hidden. I guess if you're sad or depressed, you know, maybe you never felt more like singing the blues. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Never felt more like crying all night and everything's wrong and nothing seems right. Maybe you're happy. I'm H-A-P-P-Y. Remember that one? I've got that joy, 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 joy. No, where? Down in my heart. It used to be down in my heart when I was a boy. But what if? What if troubles without number surround you? What if sins have overtaken you? What if you can't see? And your troubles are more than the hairs of your head, and your heart fails within you. What kind of a song are you going to sing then? Well, for David, which is exactly where he was, he wrote a song. For the director of music, a psalm. And he called it, or somebody's called it, Psalm 40. Jimmy, you've got to love David, haven't you? He's the jammy dodger of the Old Testament family favourites selection box of biscuits. Because you kind of expect, don't you, if somebody's going to write scripture that's going to stand the test of time and inspire generation after generation after generation of people in their faith in God, you kind of expect someone to be perfect, someone without flaws, somebody to be a role model that you can look up to as an example, a paragon of virtue. But in fact, the opposite is true. Here's the word of God to inspire us and to help us. But it's written by someone who is normal, just like you and me. Well, me, anyway. You know, David was full of faults. We know that, don't we? It's catalogued for us. Here's someone who sins. Here's someone who has his ups and downs. Here's someone for whom, and check this out in the week of Dickens' 200th anniversary of his birth, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times. And crucially, here's someone who has a deep-rooted faith in God and who works that out in the good times and in the bad times and in the ups and the downs and the sins of his life. And who blogs about it in the nearest thing to Facebook and Twitter that we have, or he had in his days, the Psalms. So here he is, feeling pretty rubbish about himself, surrounded by problems like we're surrounded by snow today. He's aware of his sins. He feels like jacking it all in. And like all good musicals, he sings a song. Just before we look at the psalm, we tried in this series, and Jeff's had them up on the screen there. All things new. We tried, as preachers, we've tried to really apply the new things that God is doing or has done for us to our lives. So that, you know, your relationship with God can be deepened, can be refreshed, can be renewed, so that you and I can be changed by the Word of God week by week. It's my birthday this last week. I didn't tell you last week because you'd have sent me a card. It was my birthday last week. Don't need a card now. But I'm now in that new category on forms that you tick boxes for. I won't tell you how old I am quite exactly. But you know, it goes like 18 to 25, doesn't it? 26 to 40, 41 to 54, and then 55 to dead. I'm in the latter category now. And my charming children reminded me that this is the decade now down to retirement. This is the decade that's called decade, because that's all that's left for me, it seems. But you know, I don't want that to be true. And I hope you don't want that to be true for you as well. And one area in particular that God doesn't want that to be true in is in our walk with Him. In our relationship with our Creator, in our relationship with our Saviour, in our relationship with the One who is Lord over all things and who just longs to be Lord over your life. So, you know, I just hope you're picking this up as we go through this series and again today. You know, you may not feel like David today. You may not feel, you know, surrounded by problems, that your sins have overtaken you, that, you know, your heart fails within you. But one day you will. It's life, isn't it? And there are principles here for every day, for every situation, for every kind of life song. So it's verse 12 that tells us how he's feeling. Troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me. I cannot see. They're more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. So what does he do? Well, his life song, firstly, is a life song that rejoices in his salvation. First three verses. A life song that rejoices in his salvation. Now, we can't be sure whether this is a real life situation that he was talking about. Some sort of deliverance from trouble. Because, you know, the Old Testament people of God, they had, didn't they, over and over this, you know, praising God for what he'd done for them in the past. Or he may have been in sort of spiritualizing mode here. And actually recalling his first real encounter with God. For you and me, I think it's helpful just to think of it in those terms. As we try to weave our faith into the cloth of our lives. It's just helpful to see this as a picture of our salvation. Just think back to the moment you gave your heart to the Lord. Think back to that moment when you knew for certain that God loved you, that Christ had died for you, that your sins were forgiven. Think back to that moment when you invited him into your life and the Holy Spirit just came and flooded your heart with light and with love and with peace and with joy. And that description is here. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. Because that's where we are, isn't it, without the Lord. And he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. And listen, he put a new song in my life, a hymn of praise to our God. Now that new song, you know, don't you? It's not the latest Charles Wesley, Graham Kendrick, Matt Redman, Stuart Townend, Tim Hughes, depending on which generation or which box you tick on those forms. We're talking about a life song here. He's put a new life song in your heart. It is the ability to praise God in any and every situation, at every moment in your life. So whereas before your natural inclination was the blues or grumpy or glass half empty or anxious or careworn or whatever feelings you can think of that aren't positive, now with Christ, the situations may not change, the circumstances may be the same, but you face them with God in your life. You walk together with him, and when it's really tough, he carries you. And as you walk together, you can sing a song of praise to God. Whatever the weather, you can sing a song of praise to God. That's the life song that rejoices in salvation, no matter what the circumstances. And I suspect for each of you, as it is for me, you can recall that moment of salvation when you felt like that. And if you don't feel like that now, it's because we've allowed life to throw its cold water over us. Or maybe today. Today is that day to rejoice in your salvation again and let your life song sing. The life song that rejoices in salvation. Secondly, it's the life song that grows in understanding. Just a couple of verses, verse 4 and 5. And I separated them off, because you could have linked them really with verses 1 and 3. But I separated them off, because they just seem to have a depth that comes after reflection on years of life and faith. There's a maturity of faith here. There's an assurance that comes through experience of putting faith into practice and seeing the Lord at work. Blessed is the one who makes the Lord his trust. He doesn't look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. You know where to look and where to put your trust. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, there would be too many to declare. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. This is an understanding that the Lord has a plan for each of us. And it's been worked out now. You know, now it's not something future. Well, it is something future, but it's something present as well. He has a plan. And the circumstances of your life now are part of that plan. And they may not be what you consider to be great and helpful and good, but they're part of that plan. And it's part of the plan to help you to grow in your understanding. I don't really want to say more than those verses. Just to check with you. Are you growing in your understanding? Are you deepening your faith and trusting in God more and more? Are you increasingly aware of the wonders that he has done. And do you get this? Your life, with all its troubles and sins and problems and questions, is an opportunity to deepen your understanding of God and to trust more in him. You know, for David, his life song was about deepening his understanding. Thirdly, his life song is, I haven't written this very well looking at it, that he wants what's written on the inside to be expressed on the outside. This is about integrity. It's like slicing, this is our house group looked at this, didn't we? About slicing yourself through and seeing, you know, Blackpool Rock written right the way through. Same on the outside as on the inside. He's speaking about worship, isn't he? 6-8. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It's written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Hear this, folks. It's so easy, isn't it, to pitch up to worship. Even when the snow's 6 foot deep on the ground outside, we've still made it today. It's an adventure, isn't it? You know, it's great to come to worship, to the great assembly. And as we get here and we kiss Anne or Gail on the door, and we bring our offerings, for David it's the burnt offering and the sin offering. I suppose the equivalent today after we've kissed Anne is to sit down and then to stand up and to sing and then to sit down and to sing and then to listen and then to stand up and then to sing and then to drink coffee and then to go. And then, you know, maybe we live our life Monday to Saturday as if Sunday hasn't happened. And we pitch up again next Sunday. You see, for David, that's just not enough. For him, if his faith is true, then it had to make a difference. It wasn't about sacrifice of worship, that sacrifice that, you know, was happened in the temple in those days. It wasn't about the burnt offerings and the sin offerings for him. It was about having his ears pierced. That symbol that a slave would make voluntarily to attach himself to his good master for life. It's about saying, here I am. I've come. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is written in my heart. It's about obedience. It's about integrity. It's about what we sing, we live out during the week. You see, it's there on the inside, and it must be expressed on the outside, or there's something wrong, and we're not walking in the truth. And for David, this would be expressed, as Jeff's pointed out, in verses 9 and 10. To proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart, but I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Well, I'm not sure what the equivalent of the great assembly is for you in the week to come. It may be among the people of your family. It may be in the factory. It may be in the school or the gym or the office. The question is that David's asking us this morning, you know, will your life song sing true this week? Casting Crowns, one of my favourite Christian bands, have a song. I've got the words here somewhere. Let's sum this up, really. Empty hands held high, such small sacrifice. If not joined with my life, I sing in vain tonight. May the words I say and the things I do make my life songs sing and bring a smile to you. Let my life song sing to you. Let my life song sing to you. I want to sign your name to the end of this day, knowing that my heart was true. Let my life song sing to you. Lord, I give my life a living sacrifice to reach a world in need, to be your hands and feet. May the words I say and the things I do make my life song sing and bring a smile to you. Let my life song sing to you. And finally, for David, his life song is a life song that is prayerful. And the last verses of the psalm really are, well, the whole psalm is a prayer, isn't it? But the last verses in verse 11 really are prayer. This is where his pleading for help begins. Verse 11, he throws himself on God's mercy. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. Verse 12, he admits his problems, as we've read. Verse 13, he asks again for help. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. Verse 14, he prays specifically into the problems that he's got. Here it's to do with enemies who are pointing their finger at him and accusing him of perhaps falsely. Verse 16, he praises the Lord. Verse 17 is the summary of his prayer. I'm poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay. You know, in our life song, we need to pray. A prayer of this sort is personal. It's private. It's between you and God. And therefore, it won't be seen by anyone else. And look, it's true to say, isn't it, that the quantity and quality of your prayer life is not somewhat something that anyone else knows. It's between you and the Lord. But let me tell you, it shows. How can it not? Time spent with the Lord, praising, confessing, wrestling, pleading, rejoicing, will have its effect on our character and demeanour. We all know people, don't we, who we know to be prayerful, and yet probably we don't actually know that they are, because we don't see what they do behind closed doors. But it comes through in their life. Our life song must be prayerful. So here's the recipe for the new song in our lives. To rejoice in our salvation. To deepen our understanding. To express on the outside what's written on the inside. And to be prayerful. Let's pray together. So Lord, once again, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the way in which, though written hundreds of years ago, Lord, it's still so relevant for us today, a word that speaks to our heart, because, Lord, human nature hasn't changed in that time, and, Lord, people seeking to live out their faith in the life that we live, Lord, hasn't changed. And we thank you for David. We thank you for his experiences. We thank you for his ability to put pen to paper and to write these things down. And we thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that we have before us this morning. And Lord, we pray then for ourselves that in the situations we find ourselves in, Lord, in our lives, that we might have this kind of life song. That we rejoice in your salvation, Lord. Bring back to us, refresh and anew, Lord, that feeling. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. Lord, then deepen our understanding in you as we reflect on life and faith and you, and trust in you more day by day. Help us, Lord, to express on the outside what's written on the inside on our hearts. And help us to be prayerful that we might just exude your character in our lives. Lord, leave us, don't leave us untouched this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.